everybody, and welcome to For the Fans. Here we are talking about BB Can 10. What a week it's been. And has anybody at home who's been listening and watching to us noticed that during our countdown, the music gets slow? Kevin, what's going on with our music? We got to fix that music.
I just noticed that too.
Production meeting. What's going on here, Kevin?
I noticed it last week that it like slowed down as it was like coming in. So I don't know if they like changed something on the file, but you know, it is what it is.
It is what it is. Well, joining me today is the lovely Kevin Gilreath. Hello, Kevin.
Hello.
And the genuine Josh from Woodstock, Ontario. Hey, Josh.
Hey, Sheldon.
So this week has been a meh week, I would say. And we're going to get into it. But I haven't been feeling this week. It's like, I think and maybe it's because we've had two, three really awesome back-to-back action drama craziness weeks. And this week has just been, you know, good strategy, executed well. What are your initial thoughts so far?
So let me start off by saying I wasn't here for Friday. Them sending out Marty is the worst backstabbing, flipping MF-er I've ever seen on this show. And he's like, he's not even like good at it, right? Sam here is happy that Herman is gone. I am pissed because without Herman was the fun of this game. Herman was playing such a good game too. There was no reason for Herman to even go up outside of Kevin is playing a better game. Don't get me wrong. Kevin's playing a really good game. Kevin and Helena. So they were able to get Herman up, but Marty makes a deal with Herman and says, hey, kick your feet up. You're safe. Why? Why does he continually make deals and then go back on them? Marty is the worst.
Here's what's funny. Like, this isn't the first time that Marty said kick your feet up, that you're safe.
Betty to he kick said her that feet the, up last time.
Yeah. And then look what happened. So obviously, next time when you're in the BB Can house, if you hear the words "kick your feet," you're safe. That's not even a thing.
If someone else says, if Marty says "kick your feet up," my feet are going to stay firmly planted on the ground, sir, because I cannot trust you. I don't know what you're going to do. So for them to send out Herman. That was the right move. That was the right move for Kevin and Helena's game, and they played that well, right? That was great. So I wasn't here for that. But this week, the reason this week has been this last day has been boring is because Herman is gone. It's because we still have Business B in the house. Business B is not good for nothing.
I don't agree with that. We haven't actually seen that much Herman on the TV shows. It's like we've seen bits and pieces. He's kind of been quiet. And to say that he's had a good game, well, maybe he has. And maybe that's why he was targeted. So it was absolutely the right move. I don't know. Like I don't.
But he wasn't targeted by Marty. He was targeted by Kevin.
Right.
He was targeted
by Kevin. Good job.
Yes,
Kevin's doing I won't argue that. Kevin and Helena, Kevin, I think they're doing a really, really good job, and smart. If I were them, I'd want to get rid of a bigger threat. Of course, why not? Why would I get rid of Betty ever?
Here's the thing on the opposite side of that coin, Herman was planning to betray Marty the week after, anyways. So it's like Marty kind of did it in the right way, but I think here's the problem with Marty. The moves were right. It's just the way he comes across this is completely wrong.
I think Sam's right. You know, it is better to Marty keep Marty.
We'll talk about that in a minute. We'll get to that in the spoiler section.
Right. Like I was saying that, like, you know, the moves were right to take out Herman for Kevin, Helena, and maybe Marty to a certain extent.
It wasn't right for Marty because Marty believed the deal.
Yeah. Like, he went against the deal that he shouldn't have made in the first place. But with Kevin throwing in some logic to Marty, he's like, okay, you know what? That may be a good idea. Maybe I should talk to Gino to see, like, if he's close with Herman. But no, like, I think Marty's a little bit of a, of, like, of social, like, a little bit of social awareness in the house has kind of been a little bit off as the days go by, and I think he's just going to get worse and worse as the time begins. I think final five, he's going to do whatever Kevin and
I think Kyle has the KM2 syndrome. It's the Kyle Moore the second syndrome, he wants to make moves, and he doesn't understand the social dynamics of the game and the impact of those moves to his long-term game. And so, yeah, sure, he's making a move. Arguably it's 100%. Like, he made a move. He got rid of Hermann. Nice. You know, and yes, we could argue that that's Kevin's move. Great. We could argue that's Helena's move.
It is Kevin's move, though.
But truth be told, I would make an argument that Marty can't win the game.
Martin cannot win this game.
Like, nobody will respect him enough to give him a vote.
Nope. So my question is that, would you take Marty to the end then if he sits next to someone like Betty?
So that's the risk, though, because the risk there is you take him and you keep him along, but then he goes rogue. So, like, to me, when I'm playing a game, I want my variables to be as controllable as they possibly can be. And yes, I think you can control the fact that he won't win. However, I would rather somebody else sitting beside me that I also think can't win than somebody like Marty, who does. He has a record of winning things. He has a tail. He has a story. And truth be told, like, forget the story. I don't know if he's going to go against me next week. So
He has told Gino more than once that I have your back, and then he has consistently betrayed him. Right?
Three times.
Like, so you're 100% right, Sheldon. Like, you could tell me, Marty, that you're with me, but I've watched you betray Gino. Like, even more so, there's a actual safety chain, and you did not pick Gino. Right, and now, mind you, you don't have to pick Gino, but for you to consistently say that this is your number one and you have this loyalty to Gino, and then an exact safety chain where you have to pick a person to be safe, and you don't say Gino's name, insane. Not even getting to the vote, not even getting to the betrayal later. There's a literal safety chain where you just have to say the name, and then they're safe.
And one of the things Marty said after Hermann left in the diary room was, you know what? This was a successful HOH. Patting myself on the back, I did so good. And the only thing he's a little bit worried about is now, because Hermann called him a snake, he's a little worried that other people now think that he's a snake. Where have you been? Oh,
Marty. So now when Hermann calls you a snake, now you're aware that you betrayed people? Come on.
Really?
It is.
Clueless.
Ridiculous.
We also see at the beginning of this episode, Summer tried to take Betty aside and say, you know what? I know I told you I'm not sure if I'm going to vote for you or not, but I made a decision with my heart. And you know, let's make up. Everything will be okay. I'm here with you. I'm here for you. Is this a little too late?
No. See, this is the thing. Betty was ridiculous this week, not understanding that Summer has a relationship with both you and Hermann. It's not like she doesn't have a relationship with Hermann beyond the flirtmans, right? Beyond the flirtmans that they had going on, they're the squad, right? They all hugged Tanisha on her way out the door, and she told them to stay together. So obviously, this was going to be a tough choice for Summer, and she did ultimately side with Betty. But the fact that Betty was incredulous of the fact that she would even consider this, she was like, How could she even consider voting to save Hermann? You guys have been all working together.
She considered it because she really thought that she had a better relationship with Summer and they were besties, right? It was a personal relationship. And I think that's a testament, maybe not strategically, to what Summer's actually doing in the game, because I'm not sure anymore that she's as good of a player as I thought she was. And we're going to get into it tonight. Here's the problem. I think it's a testament to Summer's ability to actually make real strong relationships.
Here's my thing, though. Like, if you have two number ones in this game and they're both on the block and all three of you are working together, and knowing that the one person who is not on the block has to vote for one of the two to stay, obviously you have to choose between one of the two, but it's going to piss the other person off. However, that doesn't mean that the person is going to abandon you entirely. That just means that they have to vote off one of your two alliance members off the block. So for Summer's case, she had to make a really tough decision. And same with Josh, because Josh had to, like, because Josh was close to Herman and with Betty, and Josh had a final two deal with Herman. So it was definitely tough for both of them this week. And like,
it was never tough for Josh. It was never tough for Josh.
Well, tougher for Summer. But yeah.
So okay. one thing that, right? Like,
wow.
So one of the things that is confusing. So if me and Sheldon are sitting there and Josh had to, we're both on the block and Josh has to vote one of us out, I don't believe that I would be upset at all if Josh is like, I'm weighing it between you and Sheldon.
Absolutely. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
I understand wholeheartedly that you're going to have to make a choice, right? You're going to have to make a choice. And me and Sheldon came into your life at about the same time. And we have both been allies to you from the moment we joined Pandemic Season 4 about a year ago, a little over a year ago, right? So if you had to choose, I don't think Sheldon would get too upset if you're like it's weighing heavy on my heart, which is all Summer did. She just said, I don't know which one I'm going to do. She was more playful with Herman about it. And so Herman being like, I really got to campaign to you. She's like, yeah, that was, I understand why he was getting a little upset, a little peeved. But at the same time, Betty to get so mad about it. And then, like you said, Sheldon, when she comes to her afterwards, is like, I chose my heart and I decided to stick around with you. And Betty be like, even the fact that you thought about it is too much. I'm like, what are you doing?
Like, I think Betty's little bit of sarcastic remarks is rubbing people off the wrong way. And that is why, like, comments like that is going to make you lose jury votes, which is why Betty is the perfect person to take.
But that's Betty. That's her personality. Like,
I know. You can't really change that.
She is not upset to go and take the whip out really quickly when she needs to.
And she probably
would. I kind of respect that. I don't think it's good for the game, long or short term. But, like, that's Betty. Like, that's why she was cast. All right, yep. There you go.
Yeah, I don't know. That's fair.
We also see an interesting conversation between Kevin and Gino, and we sort of get clued in this episode that there's a brand new five that was formed. And the five is the Flirtmance Showmance, Gino and JL, as well as Kevin, as well as Helena, as well as Marty. So that's this new five.
That's not the new five, though. That five's not new. That's the five that voted out Tanisha.
Right, but this is the new five according to the show telling us about this five.
Okay,
so that's kind of like the ghost thing, which I get it. Yeah, like because sometimes alliances don't really get shown until like it's needed for the context of the story. Yeah,
that's fair.
Now that's why I think they do.
So we see this new group of five or old group of five, but it's a group of five, and you see Kevin basically going to say, "Hey, Gino, look. Marty has to stay here. Marty has to stay here because he's a bigger target than you are right now. And the second Marty leaves, you are next." Mm-hmm. And, you know, then we see Gino basically saying in the diary room, "Meh, I don't even want to work with these people. Meh, I don't want Marty around. Marty backstabbed me. Marty did all these things. Not into it." So
100% valid. Like,
Kevin was right. Like logically, that makes perfect sense. Is Gino wrong? Is Gino making the wrong decision?
No, I think, listen, if someone betrayed you, not once, not twice, but three times to your face, and you didn't make up a good execution to take out Gino, obviously you're highly resented to work with Marty. So for Gino's case, I completely understand why he wants to cut Marty. But for a game standpoint, I think he would have to like play the middle a little bit just to try to rope in Summer and Betty. But like the only way to work that through is that the showman's like, once Marty's gone, Summer's right. The showman's is going to get targeted next, but the showman's needs to play the middle a little bit. Otherwise they're going to get targeted very, very soon. So I don't blame Gino for targeting Marty for that front.
It's even more so than that. Like, he has told him not just three times that he's betrayed him. He said, "Gino, Gino, I'm so sorry. Whatever you want to do, Gino, it's up to you. You tell me, King Gino, you tell me who to put up." And then Gino says, "Put up Josh and Betty," or put up Moose and Betty or whatever, right? And he's like, "I'm thinking Josh and Betty." And he's like, "What happened to the Moose thing? Like, what happened to Moose? I changed my mind, but King Gino, I'm so sorry. I know I told you that my HOH was yours, but I made my own decision here on what to do because I'm getting revenge for you, King Gino. I'm getting revenge for you. And then Gino's like, that's not what I asked of you to do.
I'm getting revenge for you for me voting you.
Yes, yes, for me voting you is why I'm taking revenge on the two usurpers who told me to vote you, even though I was only one of two that did vote you. I am getting revenge for you, sir, for them making me vote you. And he's like, but I thought we were going to do Moose. No, because that's not good for me. So we're not going to do Moose. And then he's like, okay, how about Herman? Gino had told him originally, I feel good about Herman, so I'd rather Herman not go up. Well, when it's time for renom time, he's like, how about Herman now? And Gino's like, do whatever you want. Hey, hey, he said it's okay. He said it's okay. We're doing Herman. Here we go. And it's like none of those things really worked out, which is why if I'm Gino, I think he's making the right move. He's like, yeah, this five was never really like in my best interest because the best person for me was supposed to be Marty, and he has betrayed me 5 times in the last 2 weeks. 5 different times in the last 2 weeks.
I agree.
Two thoughts. Kevin's logic makes perfect sense, and I think it's the best sell here. However, I agree with you, Kevin and Josh. Like, I don't see... Like, I think that the fear I would have if I was Gino was I would lose Kevin and Helena. But the truth is, and Gino says this later on in the episode in the diary room, I don't think it is very hard to argue why he had to get out Marty. It is very easy and still salvage that relationship. So,
well,
so
on top of that, if he loses Kevin and Helena, he still has the Josh and Betty thing. Because as you see in the episode a little bit, a couple moments later, Josh and Betty made him a deal so that way they can keep Betty safe this week. So if you lose Marty and you lose Kevin and Helena, you get Josh and Betty as far as you're concerned. So you're fine. That works.
Yeah.
It's an even swap.
Love it. I mean, like, if you're looking at it from a different perspective, like, I think, like, despite Gino still having JC Lynn in the game, I don't think Gino is really as big of a target as like people think he made out to be. Reason being is that, like, reason being is, threat. Well, true, yeah, but no one's looking at him his way right now because Marty is still a big threat. Then you got Kevin and Helena. They're looking at those three, and then Summer to a certain extent. So as long as like those are looking
at who's looking at Kevin and Helena?
No one's looking at Kevin.
Josh is best friends with Kevin and Helena. Gino wants to keep Kevin and Helena.
The reason they're looking at Kevin and Helena is not because of their threat levels, because they're the people they're not working with, right? Moose is working with trying to work with Summer, Josh, Gino, and Jace, right?
Can somebody explain what Moose is doing? Because is he playing?
I think he is. Moose is definitely playing the game. He's trying to get close to the people he can. Last week, Herman was on the block. He didn't need to be campaigned to, so we don't see him on the show. And
we've seen like tidbits of Moose being very insightful, but you never see him. I guess he's not a Kevin. He's not trying to mastermind things.
Correct. He's just hanging out. He's right? Vibes.
Is that winnable?
No.
Like, he has to do something soon.
I think the other problem is that, like, Moose, like, if you look at the new updated alliance chart, Moose is the only one that's not in an alliance with anybody. So that's why Moose is at a huge disadvantage because he's so low on the totem pole. Yes, no one's targeting him right now because people could just be like, oh, you know what? Let's just slowly wrap him in. But then Kylie's like, Moose isn't playing Betty.
Look how Josh reads the comments out loud. Every time.
I disagree with this, but we'll talk about that later.
No, let's talk about it now because I actually, Kylie, I disagree. So Kylie's comments, Moose isn't playing, Betty isn't playing, Summer isn't playing. Betty's been playing. She can't Summer's win and gain power.
Betty's I think all three of them are playing.
Summer's playing a 100% hard social game.
Yeah.
Moose,
yeah.
I don't know what he's doing, really.
I think Moose is, like, here's the thing. I think all three of them are trying. Like, do I think they're, like, playing and trying to win? Yeah. But do I think it's enough for them to win jury votes? I don't think so. At least for Moose and Betty's case. Summer has some good points, but for either of them, I don't see them like really changing the tide unless Moose can do something.
So the Moose isn't playing.
JL Gino, isn't playing. JL Betty is playing for Gino. Yeah.
JL JC Lynn is playing. So all of them are, I could make, give me 2 minutes and I can make a case for each of these people, right? The kind of game they're playing.
Moose
is playing here for vibes, right? I mean, we've said that from the day one, but Moose is trying to make everyone just feel good and think that's how you win. Like a, if you think of a, like a Fabio type Survivor game, right? He's like playing like Fabio. He's there. He's good times. Maybe you'll vote for him. Betty, I don't think so. Betty's not really doing too much. She's trying to play. It's not that she isn't trying to, but she is aligned with people that are much bigger players than her. With people like Tanisha, with people like Josh. They're bigger players, so that's tough. When you get down to Summer, Summer is playing. Summer is playing this game because everyone feels like she has a really good relationship with them, with her, except for JC Lynn, which we'll get to in a minute. Because I will, yes. And then JC Lynn, JC Lynn is playing because she is paired up with the biggest physical threat and has decided she's going to ride his coattails as long as she rides other things and then cut him when she needs to cut him. Because
We don't know if he's been cut.
She'll let us know. How she'll find out. But like, you know what I'm saying? I feel like, oddly enough, I think I pegged JC Lynn's game from her first picture. I think that I said she was going to get with Gino. I said that from day one. And I said that I think that unless she gets blinded, as I'm watching her play, she's letting Gino make all the moves. And then she plans on cutting them if she can.
Well, I think we're going to have to wait and see. Yeah. But what we did see is one of the saddest things I've seen all week. We saw all of the fridges empty, locked up in chains, no food, cut to the entire house being so sad, being so pouty, being so pissy. Cut to my man, Josh, who looks like he just lost a member of his family because he has to eat slop. Is slop really that bad?
From what I understand, it is. But before we get to talk about Josh extensively, I love the fact that like they turn to the cameras and they're like, "Big Brother, what did we do? Why are we on slop? Why are we on punishment? What did we do? Can someone tell me what we did?" Like the multitude of them being so sad and just begging for an answer of how they got here was just so funny.
One of those moments that like Prod decided one day, the Prod decided to wake up one day and be like, "Hey, you know what? Let's just be dicks for one night and let the house guests be on slop for the entire day, just for absolutely no reason." That's just kind of like how I saw it, but it's more so like a mixed emotions thing for me because it's like it's hilarious to watch as a viewer, but when you're actually in the house, it's actually very miserable. And especially, I don't want to be that kind of person that just be like, "Well, if I have to be in the house and then all of a sudden they lock all the food out, I guess I just have to live and just fast for the entire day."
Could you add spices? Could you, add some cinnamon?
Yeah. But from what I understand, there's nothing making slop better.
Nothing.
Can I make a slop pancake, a slop waffle?
And they do all those
things. Marty makes slop pancakes on the live feeds. So
none of those things make it better. They're still terrible from what I understand.
Well, poor Josh. I guess, I don't know. Sad man. So let's talk HOH. We're about 30 minutes in and we don't know who won the HOH yet. So originally we had the Buzzkilled competition, but due to buzzer technical difficulties, canceled mid-comp. They had to stop it and say, "Yeah, this isn't fair. We're going to do another one." So instead, they went to another competition where very simply they had to say, "Well, did X thing happen before or did it happen after?" And throughout round after round, they were playing. We even see one round where Summer, shocker, shocker, says, "You know what? I don't need this HOH. I will take my slop pass and not eat this crap."
Well, she didn't quite say that. She said, "I'm not going to win because I missed one question. So let me go get this slop pass because I'm already not going to win." Because she had said earlier that she had been throwing competitions, which we saw her throw that veto.
Yep.
Openly. And so I think the girl's been throwing competitions this whole time. And so.
Yeah. I mean, that's fair to look at it because it's like if you're throwing HOH comps and veto comps, you don't show your cards. I mean, at some point that Like, at some point in this game, you have to win comps to put yourself in better standings. Like, at least win one comp in the entire season.
You don't, like, though, right? Because Summer has a good relationship with literally everyone.
So she's, is Josh, so they can do the same thing.
She's, her and Josh, well, she's a ray of sunshine. And so she hasn't had to win to get it done. I mean, Kevin has won one veto, and that was because Gino is an idiot, right? But at the same time, at the same time, Kevin has controlled. He's been the last two HOH. He's been the HOH the last two times,
basically.
So you don't have to win to have control of the game. And so, with that being the case, I think Summer has been throwing it, and I think this one she missed that one question, and I don't like that she quit. I don't like that she quit on the comp, and that's the hard part.
Yeah,
but she
didn't
want those slop pancakes. She wanted real food.
I mean, like, that also kind of low key annoyed me because it's like, Summer, I think it's time for you to make a move. Like even though yes, you're in good standings with everybody else, there comes to a point in this game where you have to add something to your resume. Like, other than being the social butterfly, that's one thing, your resume. But what else did you do?
Throw
comps to be in good standings? Okay. But what else did you do in the game?
What are you talking about? She had a good relationship with everybody.
That's the only thing she did.
This game is a social game, Josh. This gives me the social game.
Do people win this game with just social gameplay? Like,
Harris did. She didn't want a single call.
No, but she was strategic the entire time. She was making moves. She was wheeling and dealing. Like I don't see Summer doing that.
She took out Kyle Moore.
That's fair.
Chaotic gameplay, but she got Gino to put him up that week.
Yep, that's fair.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that was inevitable.
Because you look at, because if you were to compare another social player to Summer, I think Victoria was a social player, right?
Yeah, but Victoria, she won comps though.
No, she did. Oh, I'm talking about Victoria from BBC.
Go on.
I know no Canadians.
Okay. But, go on. Sorry.
Victoria from BB 16, she was a social player, if you will.
Do not compare those two. Like, come on. Summer is far better socially.
That's what I was going to say. I was going to say that. But they're not comparable because she didn't win any comps, but neither has Summer. But I don't think Victoria was throwing. I think she just wasn't winning. As you see, Summer is throwing. She is intentionally not winning because she doesn't want to have to reveal her hand. And she'll be able to speak to that in the end as people go out.
So we see Gino win HOH. Mm-hmm. It's been really interesting this season. We haven't had that many HOH winners that are different. We had two HOH wins for Gino, two HOH wins for Marty, one for Herman, one for Jess, one for Kyle Moore. Like, it seems like the
and
same.
And a lot of them are out.
And a lot of them are out, except for Gino. So what's the best move this week for Gino? Is it really Marty?
I think Gino should backdoor Marty.
So as Gino said to Herman last week, he wants to take out Marty. He wants Marty's blood on his own hands. And so with him winning the HOH, it's not looking good for old Martin here.
No.
And I think it is a good move for him to take out Marty because he cannot trust him. Like you said, Sheldon, he may tell you he's with you and then stab you. He's done it to Gino more than once. So he can't trust him.
No. I think that Gino needs to backdoor Marty. Like, don't put him straight up on the block because last time that happened, Marty won veto. So it's like, it's better for you to take the risk of Marty not competing in the veto comp and then go from there. I think the right move for Gino right now is to either cut Marty or blindside Kevin or Helena.
Does Gino have bad luck or good luck in the sense that his two strongest allies outside of JL destroyed him? And so in the eyes of the house, like, he had no other choice. He's got to go for Kyle. He's got to go. And so that is something that's quite helpful in a game when, you know, your opponent, who should be your enemy in the game, is never going to go for you. He's got to go eat his own.
Like, and I think Gino is playing I think Gino was playing a self-preserving game. I think he wanted to play a loyal game to his alliance, but it's also the fact that, like, Kyle Moore screwed up his game. Marty, like, tried to throw him out three times. They all failed. Like, I think Gino targeting the people that everyone views as the biggest threat in the house is probably the right move for him, because he could win jury votes at the end. Cutting out Marty, that could win Herman's vote. Throwing Kevin or Helena, that could win him a vote, because, like, it's all about making moves in the game. So I'd say for Gino's case, yeah, like, it's that's his only right move here, and I think that's where I think that's what he's about to do here.
And so we see Gino talk about wanting to get rid of Marty, and really his goal is to backdoor. And he says this clearly: as long as, you know, the right people play POV and the right people win POV, you know, this is going to be a Marty goes home week. That's a big gamble, folks, because you don't actually really know who's going to play POV, or what they're going to do with it. So especially so maybe Marty would play it. And he says this while he's obviously cleaning the room. And JL gets really excited about the fact that he's cleaning his room. Have people never seen a man clean a room? What?
Apparently that's a big thing. If a guy cooks and cleans, that's a winner.
So while he's in conversation with JL, basically he says, well, you know, earlier on when we were all here and I was showing everybody my HOH room, Moose basically said, I could put him on the block if he takes me for Wendy's. Well, that's an easy one. And then they also say, maybe we should put Moose up with Summer because, you know, they don't want either of them gone. Summer won't be upset if you put them up.
Well, he said, Summer hasn't touched the block and I don't like how confident she feels. And JC Lynn said, do that. Let's put up Summer, because in reality, JC Lynn hates Summer and Gino's relationship. I 100% believe this. As the feeds have gone on, there's things we have seen that have not been shown on television.
Yes.
Summer and Gino, they are playful with each other. There's a 100%. Lot of flirting going on. At one point,
lots of hugs, lots of
long hugs, lots of evil stares from JC Lynn at them hugging and playfully playing around.
I'm surprised that was never aired. I'm like, why did they show that?
There's been times where there was one time where they had to be handcuffed to each other. And Gino was handcuffed this summer.
Why did they not hear
each other for like a day? And the two of them just hung out. And that was when the Kyle Moore plan was hatched, actually, was when they were handcuffed to each other and had to be with each other all day. And she's played with his hair, and they play around and mess around a lot. And JC Lynn consistently is looking at them and constantly getting angrier and angrier, which is why, if Gino's like, I'm thinking about putting up Summer, JC Lynn's like, that's exactly what I was thinking. Because she needs her man to herself.
Hmm. Yeah. I mean, like, I even, like, saying that, like, I even said this, like, a couple of times to myself. I'm like, if Summer really wants Gino, she should have cut JC Lynn weeks ago. Now we're at that point where it's just like Gino's time to hit to JC Lynn. It's like, well, too late now.
I don't think Summer really wanted to be with Gino. I think she just likes playing with Gino and thinks he's, like Kylie, a sexy man.
Fair. I mean, like, I see something there. Not a sexy man. That's a lie.
So ultimately, Gino goes and takes Moose to Wendy's. No chicken this week, Kevin. I'm really sorry.
Baconators, baby.
Baconators. Yeah. And, you know, we get a special message from Paris. Spoiler alert.
Like Gino. I don't know her neither.
You don't know her neither. But you know what, Kevin? You would love her. And I think you loved looking at her, I'm sure. Love her gameplay. And what she said was really interesting, because this is literally what she did to win this game. She very simply said, use this HOH to build relationships, and do not forget the people who you are now voting out, they vote for you. So as you send them home, make sure you don't send them home with pain. And I thought this was so interesting, because that the exact opposite is what Marty is trying to do, is what Gino's trying to do to Marty.
I think, like, this is, like, out of all the Big Brother winner advice videos, I think this is the best advice out of all of them, because it's like, you want to send them out in good terms, knowing that they're going to vote for you at the end, right? You do not want to, like, let people get evicted in bad blood on your hands, because then all of a sudden you burn some jury votes. So I think this is definitely really good advice from Paris.
Yeah. Kevin, you got to watch the season. Paris is a great player. One of my favorite BB players of all time.
Season six. Got it.
Yeah. Season six overall, it's a mess season, but Paris is kind of.
Paris, to me, I was watching her from the start. I'm like, this girl, she's dangerous. They do not see her coming. She's going to destroy.
I agree.
And I agree. Kylie, if you're listening, get Paris on our podcast. I want to talk with her.
I want to talk with Paris.
So we see, you know, the rest of this conversation where, you know, Gino basically says, listen, you know, you're not my target. My target is simple. My target is Marty. We just have to figure out a way to get him backdoored. And, you know, maybe you should go. Maybe I need somebody who can win. Maybe he kind of hints to it. He doesn't really completely say it. And Moose says, you know who I'd like to see on the block? I'd like to see Helena or Summer go. Was he not?
Go on the block.
He said, go on the block. Go on the block.
Because they're the only two girls that like haven't been on the block in the entire game, or the only two players that haven't been on the block the entire game. So
doesn't that like strategic? Like I think obviously Moose doesn't want to go up. I wouldn't want to go up either. But from a logical perspective, the argument that Gino is saying is, I need you up on the block because you're going to win this POV. Not let's put the two people who haven't won anything yet so they don't win and the veto is not used.
Oh, fair point. Yeah. Yeah. Like, I can see that.
Doesn't this show Moose's cards a little bit too much?
Not really.
No, nobody wants to go on the block.
Well, because Moose has what cards to show? He has nothing.
Well, the card, well, I guess so. Like, I guess the cards are. Well, look, that's information that you could use in the future against
Moose. Yeah, you could.
Okay, but fair.
He pitched two other people. That's all it was. It was like, he pitched the two people that haven't been on the block.
Yeah,
that's
all he did. Because basically it made me feel like Moose is not wanting to be part of the team.
Oh, listen, if I ask you to go on the block and you say no, that doesn't mean you're not a team player. It means you just don't want to go on the block.
That's like,
did you ask your girlfriend to go on the block? No. Why? Because she's not a part of the team? Oh, no, you couldn't risk her. I get it.
I also have to say, this girlfriend business, they have the weirdest showmans because there's no manse. They're just like,
They're just not showing it. I think there is. They're just not showing it. I was thinking the exact same thing. There's a lot of long hugs. I think there's kisses there that we're just not seeing.
There were kisses on the feeds. They just didn't show it in the cut. I don't know why they haven't done it yet. Like, they did it for Ika and Dimitri, and they did it for Sam and Adam, too. But
they did it for Kevin and William. Like they did it for everybody who's ever played BB Can. I don't know what's going on there.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I'm with you. I thought that was very weird, especially because, like, she came in the room, and he's, like, holding her lovingly.
So
and
close. I know
that, yeah, and I knew that they definitely had to kiss, but they just didn't show that they kissed.
But also, like, that was sort of evidence to me that, okay, well, maybe the reason they're not so close is the fuel that's giving Summer the ability to say, well, he's not locked up. He's still available. Maybe he's mine. I think Jace
is playing more coyly. She's using her womanly wiles, and I think Gino has fallen in love. And that's
that's where it's looking right now.
Wonder like Gay Ontario, the man with the big nipples falling in love.
Oh, God.
We see another conversation between Gino and Josh, and you know, basically, Gino says, "Listen, Marty's my target. I want to figure out the best way in order to completely and totally shock Marty." So Josh suggests, "Why don't you put up Helena?" Okay, ooh. And Gino's response is actually quite smart and strategic, and he very simply says, Well, you know, if we put up Helena, you know, Helena's kind of close with Marty and would probably, you know, choose Marty to play for her. So that won't work. We won't be able to. And then Marty's safe. So that doesn't make sense. this is a really interesting conversation because I think for me, this is one of the first conversations that I see Gino's strategic skills coming out.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually playing.
I think that his strategic skills came out when Kyle Moore was planned to be the backdoor target. Like, I think he slowly realizes that once Kyle Moore was a detriment to his game, he had to play that way. So, like, I think Gino, like, slowly, like, had, like, one eye open that he's, like, woken up for, like, the next few weeks after Kyle got evicted, and then his other eye got woken up during this episode. So I think, yeah, like I agree with Sheldon of like to a certain extent, but I do see Gino now playing really, really hard for the situation.
I think it's interesting because I think this is a mistake that Gino's making all in all, because I think the move is you put up two people you're willing to go home, and then with Marty being your main target, and then if one of them comes down, if Marty like were to save one of them, then you could just send the other one home, right? That's really the move, because you need three targets total. And Moose and Summer can be assets to him as opposed to Kevin and Helena, who are going to be gunning for him. Even though they're talking about this five, you don't want to be in the five anyway. So you might as well put up the other three members of the five.
I mean, I agree with that. I think, or maybe like he should have put up like maybe one for like maybe do like Summer and Helena or Moose and Helena.
Don't
or
just split do like,
why not put up Betty? Why not put up Betty? Let Josh.
Because Betty's not gonna go.
Well, no, it's because you're working with Josh and Betty now, right? Because you said you would rather work with Josh and Betty. So since you would rather work with them than Kevin, Helena, and Marty, put up the two of them. If one of them picks Marty to play, then Marty plays. If Marty doesn't win, then you use, because then Kevin and Helena will have to use the veto to take themselves down. Marty has to go up unless Marty wins.
Yeah.
So we see at the end of that conversation between Josh and Gino, Josh says, I'm not going to tell anybody this. You know, fast forward 10 seconds later, Josh is telling everything to Kevin. And it's very, very clear from the diary room session, Josh's true alliance in this game, the people
the
that
crash test dummies.
It's the crash. It's Helena and it's Kevin 1,000%. And yeah. He's sort of keeping Betty along. I don't really get that. But it's kind of, I guess, an interesting move. And Josh spills everything to Kevin and basically says, and Kevin basically says, he's either telling me the 100% truth or Gino's telling him a lie. Right. And it's this really, really interesting sort of a thing. And I actually really do like Kylie. I really like this crash test dummy alliance. I like the three of them a lot. I'm a little bit concerned about Josh being in the end.
Same.
Because same. I think Josh could actually beat Kevin and Helena.
Yeah.
And,
here's the
Kevin
thing,
knows
though.
That too. Kevin's aware of that too.
Yeah. But here's the thing though. Like, I think Josh telling Kevin was probably the biggest mistake of his game. Reason being is because Kevin and Helena know they cannot take Josh too far into the game, because if they take Josh straight to Final Four, Josh is going to beat all of them. So like if I were Josh, I would have kept that info zip until the veto comp and then go from there. But,
oh no! That you're wrong on that, because as far as he's concerned, it's legitimately the three of them. So that he's selling his two biggest allies, man. like that's
no. Like I'm saying, like they're not gonna take him far as much as he wants to.
No, but he thinks
that's
they
why
are,
I'm
though.
Saying it's a detriment to
he
his
thinks
game.
they're a final three. That's
what he thinks. Yeah,
right. Like that's the thing, though. Like of course you're gonna tell them because they're your true alliance. Like Sheldon said, like it's no reason. Me and you have the three of us and everyone watching at home has the ability to see everything going on. Right. So we know that Kevin is not actually as close to Josh as he thinks, right? But yeah. Josh, as far as he's concerned, him and Kevin think
from his perspective, yeah.
So like you tell them, rather tell them immediately, because that's what you do with someone that you're actually aligned with. That makes sense.
I mean, like that's fine. Like you know, like I'm saying, like if someone is in the house and they wanted to say that to their alliance member who you truly believe is your number one,
yeah, that's
okay, perfectly fine.
That's what he did.
I'm just saying this potentially could hurt his game in the long run.
Yeah, but you said it's his worst move. I don't think it's a bad move. I think it's a good move for an ally.
I said it's the biggest mistake of his game as of right now.
So, let's fast forward a little bit to Summer, because we finally see a lot of Summer's strategic content. Summer's having this great conversation with Kevin, basically saying,
I'm not going up.
It's an easy week for me. You know, I got a great relationship with Gino. Nothing's going to happen.
Yes,
you know, and she does. You know, they flirt, they touch. Who the heck knows what else they're doing? Fast forward a few minutes later, Gino's in a room with Summer, basically saying, "You know, I'm not really anxious to be up on the block." And Gino says, "You should be."
and that had me dying. I was like, "Wow!"
Look, And, you know, Gino goes through the strategy of he can't put up Marty on the block. We need people on the block who are going to be pawns. We need people that are going to be around and are going to be helpful and somebody that people are going to use a veto on so that he could backdoor Marty. And he's basically hinting, you know, maybe Summer, you go up, you haven't been there, you know, go up. And Summer says, you know what, we should try JL. You know, your other girlfriend. Why don't we do that?
Well, Summer had a very compelling argument because she's like, you have two wives, Gino. You have two wives in this game. You have me and you have JL, right? We are both your wives. I understand that I'm in a polygamous relationship. JL does not understand she's in a polygamous relationship.
Doesn't get it.
So do not put, like, you know, Gino, that you have both of us. Why would you put up either one of us? Cannot put either one of us at risk because we're both here for different reasons for you. And then he's like, I'm only in a one person relationship with JL. And she's like, well, what about all this, everything we've been doing? Like, what would you call it? He's like, you were just a side piece. That's why you're expendable. And then that made it very clear to Summer that she was not a wife, but she was but a secret girlfriend. And that's why she was an affair. And that's why she was able to be put at risk. And I think she is done with Gino after that.
Yeah, and this is why I warned her. I was like, if you want Gino all to yourself,
you warned her.
JL.
Yeah,
Josh sent a message in the house.
You warned her?
What?
You warned her? Wow. We then have another one of our favorite scenes. I love when this happens, and I want more of it. Gino has a conversation with Andrew of Gina yes. LLP, Andrew Gross, the lawyer, a.k.a. Kevin. Walks into the room and basically says, hello, sir. 2 years ago, I represented you in your divorce from your husband. How can I help you, sir?
I don't need help. I'm thinking about putting up Summer and Moose. Yep. And then Kevin's like, okay. I think that might be his real plan. If he's really trying to backdoor Marty, he's got me on this one.
Yeah, he's got me. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So, and you know, Kevin really says in his diary room, he's telling the truth, or he's a really freaking really, really good liar because he's not.
And he was doing a good job. G was doing a good job.
And this should scare Kevin because I think this is the end of their relationship if Marty does end up going on that block and Marty does go home because Kevin becomes Gino's next target because Kevin can't trust Gino and Gino can't trust Kevin. And we then move over to the nomination.
Well, I loved at the very, very, very end when he was leaving, he told Andrew to tell Kevin that he's doing well.
I love it. I love Kevin. He is sort of.
Kevin's been great.
Kevin has been growing on me like this past season. Like the first couple of weeks, I was kind of like, I'm not so sure about him. But then, like as the weeks progressed, he definitely grew on me a lot, and I think he has the best chance.
Yeah, but I think the Kevin that we're actually seeing now is real Kevin. That's with his friends and his family at home.
He's
like funny. He's obviously extremely smart. Like he's gonna make jokes, and he is awkward. Like he's a weird. Like he's an awkward nerdy guy. Like that's who he is. And we're finally seeing it as opposed to that sad mopey thing that we saw the first 2-3 weeks. Yeah. And I want more of Kevin, more Kevin Gilreath every day.
I am. Kevin too. They're both great.
We head over to the nomination. Surprise to surprise, Gino puts up Moose and Gino puts up Summer. Says that Moose, you're a strong player and you're a strong social game. I respect you enough to allow you to compete for veto. And Summer, you know what? You haven't been on the block ever. You're a little too comfortable. Let's see how you fight under pressure. Go out there and prove me wrong. This is what he says. So the backdoor plan still in motion. Only thing that could screw this up is if something happens with POV. So everybody who's listening, if you don't want spoilers, Josh is about to.
That's the end of the episode. It was a fantastic episode. Right. I loved it. It was great.
Meh, whatever. There was a lot of filler. But now that we've wasted 10 seconds, Josh, what happened since the nominations?
Okay, so after the nominations, I went in. There was actually a little more spicy stuff that happened on for the past little bit. So after Summer and Moose got put up on the block, Summer immediately talks to Betty and lays out the fact that she is not happy about it at all. And was completely like popping off, saying that like JC Lynn should have been on the block. And I'm like, Summer, in what world does JC Lynn go on the block by Gino? It's not happening. Like, you know, like this whole thing was an absolute shambles. So then Gino immediately talks to Moose, and Summer told him, hey, listen, you're both pawns. You're not going anywhere. The plan is good to go. So then let's skip forward a little bit towards with the veto picks. Veto picks go in. As we know, Summer and Moose are competing. Then we have a few more picks that were drawn. One of it was House Guest Choice. Summer chooses JC Lynn. Then by random, by the wheel, Helena and Josh were going to be put into play in the veto as well.
Hold up. Summer chose JC Lynn?
Yes.
As a House Guest Choice?
That's right.
Why? Well, that makes sense, though. It makes sense because by picking JL, everyone's aware that the plan is for Gino to put up Marty. So she picks her sister wife. So that way, even if she takes down Moose, then the plan still goes into effect. That makes sense.
Yeah. So we fast forward down to the veto competition. Now this is where the big talk of this happened, and this could be the biggest turning point in this round.
Uh-oh.
What happened was Josh threw the veto to Helena.
Why?
I'll get to that in a bit. So Helena won the POV, and this is worst case scenario for Gino, because if the plan gets out that that Marty is the backdoor target, then Helena would not use the veto because it's not beneficial towards her game.
Well, however, the episode, the plan already got out.
Yeah, well, too late now. Like, obviously, Josh told Kevin, what do you think Kevin's going to do? Tell Helena to not use the veto. So by that point, Josh told Kevin he threw the veto just so that Helena could take it from that point. This is why I'm so pissed at Josh. He could have had the veto in his own hands, and then at that point, he could have done whatever he wanted to do this week that benefits his game. But he left it towards Helena, knowing he's not going to use the veto. I get it. He wants to get all blood off his hands and not pick a side. Okay. However, I still think it is a detriment to his game when he could have won the veto and then decide from that point what he wanted to do. Obviously, from the episode for yesterday, he wanted to be loyal to the Crash Test Dummy. So I get it, he wanted to throw the veto and not show his cards. Fine. But you could have won the veto and then at that point, do whatever you want that's beneficial to your game. What do you guys think?
I don't know, because I actually disagree with you. I think throwing it to Helena is a very great way to show your loyalty. It's
the best move.
Doesn't make him have any blood on his hand. Doesn't make him hurt any relationship he has with Gino. Like,
even on top of that, Kevin and Helena were left out of the conversation about Marty was going to be the back door, right? So Helena winning it. The reason this three-person alliance works so well is because Josh is embedded with the others.
Yeah.
So with him being embedded, he gets to get all the information. Kevin and Helena get to be on the other side when in reality they're working all together. So throwing it to Helena means that Helena can make the move, and Josh made the move by doing that.
Yep.
Fair enough. Okay. So let's just say, so the veto competition is over. Josh has a conversation with Moose and Gino has a conversation with Moose and Josh, telling them that, like, hey, listen, you need to convince Helena to use the veto. So that way, Marty could go up as the backdoor target, knowing already that the plan has already leaked out to Kevin. Not too short after, what does Kevin do?
What?
Tells the plan to Helena and Josh. Whoops. So now what is going to happen later on? So now Helena is aware that the plan is to backdoor Marty. Kevin convinces her not to use it because it would hurt their alliance with those three. So then, before we get to the end part of that, and Marty stays the number one target. Yeah, fair point. So then, Summer has another hilarious conversation with Gino, uh-oh, lashing out the fact, uh-oh, that Gino should have put up JC Lynn because Summer basically put her Flurmance in jeopardy during the Just round. I'm like, Summer, you had your opportunities to throw a shot, to try to make sure to get Gina older herself, to cut off JC Lynn. Now this is what happens when Gino, the person that you want to get really, really close with, just chooses to pick JC Little or straight over you, and that's what happened. So now, at this point, Summer is just losing it at this point, and she's not handling it very well being on the block. Fast forward straight to the nomination ceremony. Oh, sorry, the veto ceremony. Helena stands up, and for the first time in the history of this season, the veto has not been used. Moose and Summer. Wah, wah. Thoughts on this?
Love it. Love it. Making her first move that's visible, did something that's going to help her because she's got Marty on her side, although I'm a little scared how long that lasts because it's Marty.
Even better questions, but, though, do they tell Martin that he was – does Kevin and Helena tell Martin that
he was – why Martin? It's Marty.
And there's Martin.
As far as I know on the feeds, they haven't told him yet. I believe they're going to get I believe they're probably going to tell him soon.
Because you have to let Marty know that he was in danger and we saved you.
Yeah.
And we were hip to the plan and we found it out. And me and Helena, that's what Kevin says, Helena stopped it from happening.
So, you're welcome, Marty. So when Marty wins HOH next week,
yeah. Bye bye, Gino, for good.
Are we sure? Because I feel bad. This is loyal. I'm a Josh. Gino, I love it, Gino. I don't know. I don't know what this man will do.
At this point, I don't even know what Marty's going to do. I think he's going to stay tight with Kevin and Helena and do whatever they say. But other than that, I don't think Marty's going to make his own moves anymore. But
well, what a crazy
week. That's it.
It's been a lot of fun so far. We got two more episodes to go. A lot of stuff. We're going to see the veto.
There was a secret veto too.
Oh, I forgot to mention about that. So I completely forgot about this. Okay, so this is actually crucial. So over on the feeds, apparently a secret veto was found. So the feeds were hinting that it was Marty that was trying to reach underneath in the beach house down in the Expedia room, seeing some sort of red ribbon. But apparently that wasn't it. There was a conversation with Gino and JC Lynn, where JC Lynn was saying, "Hey, I got the secret veto." Oh wait, Gino thought that she was joking. But later, it turns out she was actually being dead serious. JC Lynn found the secret veto that apparently is only valid for this week. So
I don't know. I'm interested to see if she did find it, why she did not use it, because then she doesn't have Gino's plan going to place. Because Marty does not do anything for her game whatsoever. So that's an interesting caveat. So I'm really interested to see who actually got it, if it was her, if it was someone else. Or what?
I'm looking at my info here. Like, apparently, it has been confirmed that JC Lynn did find the secret veto.
So why wouldn't she use it? This makes no sense.
Let's find out in the next couple episodes.
Oh tomorrow. My gosh, we got a lot to see. Kevin, what's going on over the next few days in your life?
So over the next few days, just come back here on Thursday to check out the Survivor coverage.
Two hour episode.
We have merge-ish time. Let's see if the hourglass comes back into play. It will. Let's see would go.
No.
So check that out. And then later on after Easter, check out the DCOM After Dark podcast, where we'll be covering Horse Sense. It's a movie about horses and has the Lawrence brothers. Check that out.
Horse Sense. DCOM After Dark podcast. Hard to say. Horse Sense. Josh, I hear pandemic. Cool things are happening.
Yeah, first couple episodes of Pandemic, Ming Dynasty are already out. New episode coming out tomorrow night at 9 p.m. Eastern. It's probably because this is a two-hour premiere, it's going to be dropped in a little bit later, so probably right after when the Survivor two-hour thing finishes, so maybe around 10-ish. There won't be an episode for Sunday because it is Easter Sunday, but check out for episode 4 for next week. So next couple episodes, stay tuned for that. You do not want to miss out.
And after Thursday, after watching all these pandemic shows, after watching our coverage of Survivor, come back here on Friday when we're going to be talking about what happened in the house, who actually left. Since Marty's not going up, is it going to be Summer?
Josh, who's the target right now?
So as it's looking right now, it hasn't been fully been disclosed, but it looks like it's lean towards Summer. JC Lynn is pushing hard. she's pushing hard for Summer to go. And I'm like, of course she is, because she wants Summer out of here.
I also think it's the smartest move in truth.
It's a great move. Jason Lynn's game, to be honest.
It's a great move in general, right? You're right, but it's Jason Lynn has other reasons for wanting it done. So
yeah, but that, the main like reason strategy. Is that she wants Gino all to herself. Basically strategy. That.
I don't know. What if Josh wants Gino all to
herself? And they cut off Summer, you might as well knock me out of the polls because Summer is my last pick left.
Yeah, you're done. Well, we have to, you're no longer doing this podcast. Anyways, what a fun night. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you, Josh. Thank you, everybody who's listening. Check us out. From outside the For the Fans house in Vaughan, Ontario, I'm Sheldon for Kevin and Josh. See you on Friday.
Bye, guys.